Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. December 11, 1979, an interview with Marjorie at her residence in Los Angeles. Marjorie Park, excuse me. Conducted by Beverly Chen. Now, Marjorie, can you tell me a little bit about your parents' place of birth and how they came to America, their background?
Well, I think we came to America in 1917. I was 6 months old when we arrived in San Pedro, I presume.
You came with your parents?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought you said previously that your father...
My father came up earlier, and he went back to China.
To get married?
No, he was married already.
He married an American-born Chinese
youth? No. My father came to America, then later on, that's all Chinese used to do. They got no wife here, so the wife are in China, so they all go back to China. After they go back to China, naturally, a child result from the union, and so... I was born in China. From what I understood, I was supposed to be born in the United States, but the papers didn't get done in time, didn't get back to China on time, so I couldn't wait, so I was born in China.
In
1917.
And then came here when you were six?
I arrived in the United States on December 6th, so that made me 6 months old, or almost 2 days.
I
was born on June the 8th. That is not the lunar date. I translated into the Caesar dates, which is June 8th, 1917.
And what about your father? Do you know when he was born?
1870. He was about 30 years old. In 1900, he came to the United States. He must have been born about 1870.
And so he came to the United States around 1900. I see. And what did he do when he was in China?
I don't know too much about his history in China. I always hear him talk about he had to self-educate himself. And that... They all had to work hard farming.
He was on the farm.
Working.
I mean, he was came from a peasant family. Like.
It wasn't exactly a peasant family. They owned their own land.
Oh, so they were landlords?
I know he had his own home in China. And
but then he couldn't have been poor.
Well, he came here as a merchant, but... Oh, in China, yeah. I guess he was a merchant then.
He was a merchant back in
China. Yeah, must have been.
Now, do you remember which city he was in, or town?
Oh, well, we belong to Huiping.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see.
Chakham is the Hui. Chakham Hui. Huiping.
Okay.
And our village is Yantun.
Oh.
So.
Have you ever been back there?
Yes, I went back in 1927, and we came back in 1928.
Oh.
We stayed there a year.
I see. Let's see. I got a note here. 1870 was about right when he was born. Did he mention about what he did during the time that he was in China? How did he self-educate, for instance? How did he get into business if his family owned land, I guess, or were farmers, or was his family merchants also?
I really don't know too much about my father's background. You know, in the old days, parents and children, they don't communicate very much. And I wish we had more communication, because I would have loved to know more about my father's background, family history, and things like that.
How about your mother? Do you know much about her background?
No, I don't know much about her background either. All I know is, when I was young, I had a father, a mother, and then I had a brother. And then more, I have an older brother, and then I know, then I have brother and sisters and brothers, etc.
So, your mother You don't know how old she is, roughly.
At that time?
Well, how old she would be now, or...
Oh, my mother passed away in 1978, and she too was 84 at that time.
Oh, so she was considerably younger than your...
Yeah, she was about 20 years younger than my father.
That's interesting. So your father must have gotten married, like, in his late 30s.
No, I think he got married earlier, and then... Well, I don't know how I don't know any of the past history.
And then
what I know is he went back later, and then when I was born, we came. Mm-hmm. I think my big brother came with us. I don't even not clear about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get
they
back.
They don't tell
to
us anything about
when they came here.
Oh,
when your father
know what happened
came
after we're here.
Okay, came here when you were 6 months old. Did he did he start his restaurant immediately?
He had the restaurant already.
Oh.
See, he came here and he started a business, I think with my uncle. Well, anyway, he had the restaurant. Then he went back to China and he brought my brother, my mother, and me over. And then my second brother was born here after we got here.
Oh, I see. Oh, so the restaurant had already been started.
Yeah, right, right.
Was it called Trefalo then?
Yes, yes.
And where was it located?
On Alameda Street and Marchisaw Street. On the corner of Alameda and Marchisaw Street.
Mm-hmm. Was that considered part of the...
Chinatown? Mm-hmm. Right in the heart of Chinatown.
Oh, I see. And you don't remember when, exactly when he started?
No, I don't.
So it was sometime before 1917 then.
Yeah, right.
Oh, there
I
were
think
very...
he went into the business as soon as he got here.
Mm-hmm.
He came here... to go into that business. His brother brought him over, if I'm not mistaken.
I see.
And they went into the restaurant business.
He ran it with his brother. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any others? Just he and his brother?
That's all I am aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, his brother then went back to China, and my father was the sole proprietor, I guess.
Okay, where did you grow up then?
I grew up in Los Angeles, Chinatown.
Oh, I see. Do you remember any of your childhood days? How you spent your childhood years?
Well, we went to American school, then we went to Chinese school after American school. I think I started about...
Did you go to kindergarten?
Years. Yes. Kindergarten.
But you didn't start Chinese school until you went to elementary school, right?
Well, kindergarten is in the elementary school part of it.
But when you were going to kindergarten, did you have to go to
Chinese
school after the kindergarten?
I don't even remember exactly what year I started Chinese school.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is most of the time we go to American school, then we come home and go to Chinese school.
For how long did you go to Chinese school?
Well, I went for a long, long time. About 10 years of it. On and
off.
Well, I go, first I went to Mei Mei for a little while, then I went, most of it, I went to Zhonghua Haokao.
Mei Mei, that's a Chinese Methodist church.
Church.
Where was that located?
On Los Angeles Street.
I see.
I went there as a child. I used to go to Sunday school there.
Your father was a Christian?
No, he was non-religious. I guess. He believed in Confucian.
Why would he send you to...
He didn't send me, but they recruited us. They recruited us. The church recruited us.
I see. And you have 9 brothers and sisters altogether,
right.
Huh? Are you the second or the third?
No, I have an older brother and an older sister that live in Los Angeles, and they both pass away now.
Oh, I see. And so you are the third child.
Mm.
Okay. And do you remember what... kids do other than go to school, the Chinese kids that were brought up in Chinatown. Did you participate in helping your father's business?
Well, first I participated helping at home. Every time my mother has a child, I take over the older one and was sort of a second mother to each one of the child born to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about 12 years old, my father found out I know how to count. So I was recruited to work for him at the restaurant to cashier. After I showed him that I know how to cashier, that was my job. I got stuck until I got married.
I see. Did his restaurant stay at that same spot?
At the same spot until Chinatown was torn down to make room for the Union Depot.
That was in 1932?
No, it was 19... They started about 19... They started tearing part of it about 1936. And 1937... That was the year I got married. We were still living in Old Chinatown because my father had the wedding banquet for me at the old restaurant, so I know it has to be still there.
So it was still...
So the move up to the new one was being built then in 37, the new Chinatown on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I think they opened it late in 1938. I can't remember.
Mm. You said that he was one of the founders of the new Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Did you remember how the idea came into being? How did they decide that where to go and what to do?
Year after year, the people, the government that was building the Union Terminal keep pressing the Chinese community they're going to have to move. And year after year, they keep putting off and putting off. I guess they didn't believe that they were going to be depossessed and thrown out. Well, finally, the day came that they all realized they're going to have to move.
So Union Station owned all the land there.
I don't know who owned it or what.
Otherwise, they couldn't be dispossessed.
I think Mrs. Christine Sterling owned the land, and she sold it to them or something, because I always knew that Mrs. Sterling was the one that collected rents from Chinatown. So, mm-hmm. And she also owned the property in what is known as China City,
mm-hmm.
and part of a river street, and she was the rich landowner.
Oh, I see.
She has quite a colorful history, I think, in the Sandwich song.
And your father?
Okay, a group of merchants then got together. My father and Mr. Fun of Manjun Hall, which is now General Lee, and Mr. Lee of the old Yi Seng Cheong grocery store. And I know Grandview Garden, Norman and that group there. And Yi Hong Gui and Zhe Yin Lao, those were the original ones that from old Chinatown, they gotten together and moved up and started this new Chinatown. So they all put in their money.
How did they pick the location?
Mr. Herbert Latham, the agent from the Santa Fe company that owned the land on North Broadway, help them secure the land.
Agent, what does that involve?
Agent, he's the agent for land agent for Santa Fe Company, and he was the
Is
one.
Is he like a broker?
No, he works for He worked for Santa Fe Company, Santa Fe Railroad Company.
Yeah.
And the land belonged to the Santa Fe Railroad Company, and Peter Slew had a lot to help to that. Get the land, working with Mr. Lapham.
So, was the land at what was called, was the land at New Chinatown purchased by individual owners
as a group they call LA Chinatown Association.
And your father was one of the members.
One of the members, one of the organizers, co-founder. And then the group sold stock among themselves.
How much money do you know was spent for the land?
I really don't know.
How did they divide the land afterwards? They bought?
They individually, I think, buy a parcel of the land, and then they put in their own money to build the building.
Here, you show me this book, and it's called The Chinese in North America, A Guide to Their Life and Progress by Ling Lu. And you said this was written in 1948?
No, I think it was published in 1954.
Yeah. It was published in Los Angeles. It doesn't...
This was after New Chinatown. after New Chinatown was built, so it has to be later, I don't know.
No, 1948.
Oh, 48 is that
what it was? Yeah, well, this was when the introduction was written.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, December 48. And
it has... 1954 was the year my father died, what am I...
Right, and it has an introduction on your father, and it says that he was the owner of Choi Fala.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And also a member of several other organizations, for instance, the National, the what? The of
the National,
the executive member of National
Kuomintang.
Kuomintang, right.
Yeah.
And how do you translate Longgang Chen Yi Wei?
A four family association.
Four family
association.
Uh-huh. Jiyun. What does that mean?
Jiyun.
That means he was
executive
employee?
Officer. No,
okay.
Executive officer.
Oh.
He was probably treasurer. He was always treasurer for most of the organization because he was such an honest person. They all trusted him.
And also
he was a
board member of the board of directors of Zhonghua Hakka.
Yeah, the Chinese school, Zhonghua
Chinese
school.
Was that located on
Los Angeles Street long ago?
Oh,
when
at that
I used
time
that
was long, Los Angeles
now
Street.
Now it's on Yale Street.
Yale Street, yeah.
Same one.
When did it move over to Yale Street?
After they tore down or Los Angeles Street, that section now, they make freeway.
So, yeah,
okay,
right, I know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So that was, what, 1930s, late 30s,
no,
30s, 40s?
No, later than that. Gee, I really don't remember.
And he was the treasurer of the Senhua Fo. What?
That's the Chinatown Association.
Chinatown Association.
The
New Chinatown Association.
Yeah, New Chinatown Association. He was the co-founder and treasurer
of the New Chinatown Association. And Gui Yat Wei Choi Jing Jiam. That's
that was during the wartime when
anti-Japanese
committee
association
or
treasurer of that. Yeah. Ah, I see. So he was quite involved
in the Chinese community activities.
Yeah.
Very
activities.
That's where I come in. I had to cashier for him so he could run around and do all these things.
I see. And besides, did he do any other business besides Choi Fala?
No, he was always just in the restaurant business.
Huh. Was his restaurant catered mostly to Chinese or to Americans?
Both. I remember in old Chinatown, our restaurant was one of the largest. So there were a lot of banquets there,
uh-huh,
being held there, and a lot of movie actors and actresses used to come up there.
Oh, wow.
I remember Jack Dempsey and his girlfriend come up every Sunday to have noodle. Jack Dempsey and his girlfriend was Stella Taylor, I think. I saw James Cagney up there. Anna May Wong used to come up there all the time her party.
Was she considered a prominent or well-known figure?
Chinese? Yeah, she was one of the first and only movie actresses for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember seeing any of her films?
Oh, yes. When we were young.
What sort of roles did she have?
Oh.
Mm. Were they major or minor roles?
Minors. I couldn't even remember. I think she played like a maid, usually a servant to somebody or something like that.
Oh, I see. Was that kind of typical for Chinese to be portrayed as maids and servants in those days?
I don't think that she may have some major roles. I couldn't think of it right now. Seems like it was so long ago. I couldn't even remember the name of the picture. I haven't seen any for a long, long time. I remember one year she made a picture about China, that the Chinese government wouldn't allow her to go back to China because of that picture. It was derogatory to China.
Oh, when was that?
Long, long, long ago.
When
I was a child, in the 1930s, I think.
Oh, I see. Were there a lot of Chinese being portrayed in movies at that time?
Not in those days. Later on,
what about
Barbara
Charlie
Jean
Chan?
Wong and,
who?
Barbara Jean Wong, Mrs. Wong's daughter. She was, I know, one of those early ones that used to work in the movie.
Oh, I see.
Mrs. May Wong.
Mrs. May Wong was also in the...
No, not her daughter.
Her daughter,
Jimmy.
Yeah. And you said that Mrs. May Wong was one of the more prominent figures in the...
In Chinatown. Yeah, in Chinatown. In the early days, she was very helpful with everybody in planning their social activities,
mm-hmm.
weddings, more like that. And she helped me a lot with my wedding because I was one of those shelter
uh-huh.
daughter that doesn't know much about anything about life or how to go about it, and she helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm. What about other prominent Chinese?
Oh, well, I would say like Mr. Y.C. Hong, he was one of the first Chinese attorney in Los Angeles area.
Mm-hmm.
And all the, if not for him, I don't think all the immigrants would have gotten here that easy. He handled all the immigration matters for the whole Chinese community.
Mm-hmm. And these people you're talking about being prominent during the 30s or
yeah,
the 40s?
And, then there were Dr. Samuel Ng. He was the first Chinese American doctor.
He got his degree here.
I really don't know where he got his degree. All I know is.
Do you know what kind of medicine he practiced?
A regular
internal
Western
internal medicine.
I don't think he specialized in internal medicine. He was just a general practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he,
where did he practice?
I think it was down near the 9th Street Market, down there, down there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I used to go there, it was down near the 9th Street Market. Then later on, he must have moved. He had a sanitarium on Adams Street. I only went to him when I was young because my father, when he had charge of our life,
mm-hmm.
took us there later on. Go to my own that I chose myself.
Oh, I see. So he was your family doctor?
Not exactly family. Sometime we would see when we were young, my father doctored all of us. He,
mm-hmm, right.
Sometime when it's beyond his capability or what it is, then he'd take us to a doctor. Sometime it'd be to a Chinese doctor. If he's really serious, he'd think maybe a doctor practicing Western medicine would know more, you know.
I see. So when you were young, your father gave you like herbal medicine.
Yes, right.
For all of your
colds and fevers, ailments. Any kind of ailments, he doctored us. And he's very believing like bo cha, they
uh-huh.
give you the tonics.
Where did he get all that stuff?
That's what he called, he self-educated himself. He read books himself. And
no, but where does he buy the
we
the
used
herbs?
To, Chinatown has herb store.
Oh.
A real Chinese area, they have all the Chinese groceries, herbs, everything.
Oh, I see.
All came from China.
Weren't there
they
also
imported from China.
Herbalists
mm-hmm.
at that time?
Yes, there was a lot of Chinese herbalists. I couldn't think that catered just to Chinese. I couldn't think of their name. But there was one that catered to both Chinese and American, T.B. Chu.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I don't know how many Chinese go to him, but I know he was quite well known, and he was very active too in the Chinese society and in the Four Family Association.
Mm-hmm. And anybody else?
And I said, well, like Mr. and Mrs. Liang Jiang, he was the minister at the Methodist Church where I used to attend Sunday school when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife taught Chinese class, so I attended some of my Chinese classes with her. And then
mm-hmm.
in my earlier years, then later mm-hmm. on, when Zhonghua Hok House started, my father transferred over to Zhonghua Hok House because Zhonghua Hok House has more of a real curriculum and further into different study.
Yeah.
There she only taught us how to read Chinese and write. Zhonghua Hok House has all the histories, geography, and everything, a real regular school.
How many hours did you go to?
We went from 4:30 to 7:30.
Oh, every day, Monday through Friday?
And Saturday is from 9 to 12.
Oh, I see. Do you remember when the Chinese school started?
Zhonghua Hok House.
And who started it?
When we first started, it was not on Los Angeles Street either. It was over in Old Chinatown on Apple Plaza Street.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes, Apple Plaza.
I remember that 1932 earthquake. We were in class, and I used to always sit by the door so I could get out first to go home. The earthquake came. Everybody tumbled. We all ran outside, and everybody tumbled over me.
Oh.
And I fell down, and I looked at the building and saw it swaying.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, is this how I am going to die? I really thought the building was going to tumble down onto me and kill me.
Oh.
Everybody was running over me, on top of me, and everything.
Oh, dear.
It was so scary. And I thought I was going to die right there and then. And afterward, gee, I was really, every time the little aftershock came, we were all very frightened. My little brother really got sick from it. He was ill for a long time.
He was hurt, or he...
He fell down, too.
Oh.
And I think a brick fell on him, but more scared than anything.
Did it cause extensive damage to your father's arm?
No, it didn't cause really much damage. Maybe a few bricks fell down. But even if it did, nothing was done about it. Everybody just resumed business, resumed school, resumed their daily life.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else that are prominent that you can think of?
Well, as I mentioned before, Mrs. May Wong, who was sort of like a social organizer and arranger for all the social activities.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always very willing to help anybody that needed her help.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also the founder of the Maywa Women's Club and the Maywa Drum Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And her daughter, Barbara Jean, was one of the main entertainers in all the Chinese social functions at that time. She used to do acrobatics and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time there's any functions going on or anything, she would be doing her acrobatic and dancing. I know her husband, Mr. Wong, was very prominent too in the wholesale business.
Wholesale
produce business.
I see.
And other activities.
Yeah, Barbara Jean Wong married a guy named
Ali,
Mr. Li, who was
a
wholesale.
Barbara Jean Li.
I see.
And then Mr. Kwan of the Kwan and Kwan, the import-export firm.
Uh-huh.
I would say he's one of the prominent
Albert
Kwan,
mm-hmm, yes.
So.
Was he related to you guys in any way?
No, I guess it's Kwan. I'm not aware of any close relations.
Mm-hmm. Was there besides this, the four family association, did it include the Kwan family?
Lu Kwan Chang, Lao Kwan Jiang Jiu.
Ah, okay.
Lao Kwan Jiang Jiu.
I see. Do you remember when that started?
Oh, all my life I've known there's a four family association. They must start long, long, long ago. In the early settlers, those days, you know, they always have some kind of a association so they could go to for help and things like that. In fact, I read books about those people that used to come over here to work in the mine and the railroad, that's when they really started the family association, district associations and things like that. In fact, I read an article about the Chinese in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I read about all these, that they had the various family association and district association, mainly for protection and go to help against the discrimination that was practiced against all the Chinese at that time.
I see. Oh, were there very any
a matter
very
of self-survival?
Other prominent Chinese at that time, so either in business or in as professionals or businessmen.
Well, there are so many, it's kind of hard to think off the bat who they were so long, long ago.
Okay. Those people that you just mentioned were prominent around the 30s or the 20s?
Even up to 40s. Mrs. Wong is still alive.
Uh-huh.
I think Albert Kwan is still alive.
Yes.
Bessie Lu, she was the casting director, and she helped a lot of Chinese secure parts in the movies. But she was not here that early, however, she was very helpful and prominent in the people that play in the movies.
And these are all the people you can think of, right? Nobody else?
Mm-hmm. Well, and later on, Dan Louie and Louis Jake, those are the people that were prominent in the wholesale produce. Dan Louie Jake. Dan Louie owned the Louis Produce on the Ninth Street Market. Louis Jake and Henry Wu, they owned E&L Produce. Oh, there are a lot of all those offices.
Yeah, there. There were the produce market, wholesale produce market, many Chinese at that time. What about going back to your father and his business? Did you live near the restaurant?
Yes, we always lived in some part of Chinatown. What I remember, or I was told anyway, I remember faintly, when we first came in, I guess when, up until about 4 years old, I lived in that part of the city where now the Pickle House is, the old plaza area. We lived there for a while. Then we moved to some place way down Old Chinatown. I remember 1 year, I was 21, okay, we're living in one of the very few houses that was situated in Chinatown. You know, in Chinatown, they're all big buildings only, and the buildings are partitioned off into a kind of apartment-like.
You never lived in the restaurant, though, I mean, or on top of it.
No, after we came back from China, we ran a, it was near the same building, but on the side, there were kind of like apartments, rooms. So we lived there for a little while until we moved back down to Napier Street.